Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Podcasting Network. I'm here in ugly and overcast New Jersey with my good friend and co-podicator, JJ Sefton. He's in the wilds of Wisconsin, where he's probably freezing his ass off. So I really shouldn't complain. Am I correct? Are you freezing your ass off, Mr. Sefton?
Well, it's pretty cold here. I am bundled up with probably about 6 layers of clothing, so it's not, I mean, I'm not too terribly cold, and we have a nice fireplace at the house, and our, knock on wood, our furnace works very well, so we're in good shape.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have crushing news. My plumber of 100 years has decided that 6 day weeks, 14 hours a day is too much, and he's folding his company, his small, really essentially a solo plumbing company, into a larger one. And that homeowners who listen to us will understand that changing plumbers is it's like. Yeah, it's hell. It's hell. I don't know.
Well, if you
Anyway.
even need a plumber in the first place, it's hell, but there you go, even still.
Yeah. That's true. So, it's been interesting. The tone in the country for the first 6 months of President Trump's administration was wonderful. I think that that he rocked the left back onto their heels, as I've mentioned before. And he was on the offensive every single day, 20 times a day, and they had no idea how to respond. I think they figured out how to respond, and I think they're doing a very good job of it, unfortunately. I think that the administration is now on the defensive more than it should be. One of the reasons, I think, is that Donald Trump has not moved on from attacking the injustices of his last administration, and the, of course, the stolen election of 2020. I think he needs to move on, and I think that he could take some cues from his Secretary of War, who is doing an absolutely spectacular job. He is amazingly impressive. He and what's his name, the Secretary of State, are.
Marco Rubio.
Yeah, Mr. Rubio are doing, I think they are by far the best choices. And just, they're stunning. They're fantastic. What do you think?
I agree with you. And also in his work, such as he's doing, Lee Zeldin over at EPA is doing the best he can to neutralize and carve back the destructive policies of that abomination.
But
And
you know
to
what
her
he's
and
doing? What he's doing is very, very quiet, which is a
yes.
wonderful tactic to take. He's brilliant. He's flying under the radar. He's doing it very quietly, very gently, but he is decimating the environmental lunatics in this country, and it's a great thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, and so is Linda McMahon over at the Department of Indoctrination or Maleducation. She is doing the best she can. I mean, I've seen reports that, more American parents are seeing the absolute disaster of American academia and pulling their children out of public school systems, homeschooling, going for charter schools, and people and a lot of youth are just saying to hell with colleges. It's worthless. Why should I put myself in debt, regardless of the fact that the government was bailing everybody out to get worthless college degrees in lesbian poetry of the Incas? I mean, and useless college degrees. And so they're going maybe to trade schools and doing all those things. And I think that that is ultimately a very good thing for America. So we have some standout picks, but circling back to Pete Hegseth, he is under fire because he's putting the terrorist drug runners under fire and blowing them out of the water, quite literally.
I am unsure of the legality of what the Department of War is doing in the Caribbean. And I don't give a shit. I think it's an interesting conversation to have. I don't think it's a war crime by any means, but
No.
the destruction of high speed boats that are designed for one thing, which is, of course, smuggling drugs, and the killing of the operators is absolutely reasonable to me. Should Donald Trump notify Congress? Yes, I think he probably should. Should Congress vote to continue this policy? That's a constitutional discussion that we all should have. But to extend it to, oh, it's a war crime, these people need to go to jail, is fucking insane. Sorry,
That is
folks, but
insane.
it's fucking insane. These are bad people. These are people who are who work hand in hand with terrorists across the world. Let's not pretend that the brave and valiant freedom fighters and Hezbollah and Hamas and you name the scummy terrorist group. Listen, they're drug dealers too. They make money any way they can. You look at Afghanistan, which is one of the world's sources of opium for to make heroin. These are bad guys no matter what, and they work with the cartels. The cartels are part of the terrorist network of the world, and destroying
Absolutely.
their mules and their boats is fine with me.
It's fine with me. And to your point about both Donald Trump, shifting focus on other things besides the persecutions against him in the 2020 election, this is a golden opportunity. And why not bring it to Congress to vote, to bring this up for a vote to declare war or to declare whatever, an interdiction against terrorism, and let the Democrats defend openly and publicly defend the terrorists. It's such a golden opportunity for Trump to own the messaging on this, and I wish he would. And the way I wish he would do that. And of course, people see that they're not, they see who's doing what and where. And if he does it and frames it that way, there's, of course, the media will obfuscate and lie about it, but the general public, I think, will come around to Trump's way of thinking, as they have done in the past, generally speaking, unless you are totally an inflexible, knee-jerk leftist and just believe everything that MSLSD says to you. So.
You're absolutely right. Defending the transshipment of deadly drugs from South and Central America into the United States is a fascinating political choice made by the Democrats, and yet they've chosen that. And it's, boy, excuse me.
They've chosen to defend terrorists, to defend illegal aliens, illegal alien criminals,
Yeah.
rapists, people who set people on fire in trains, and so on and so on. And they own that, and they're proud of it. They're putting their own stupid foots in their mouths, collectively speaking, every time they do that. And this is such a golden opportunity for Trump and the GOP or whoever, to really to hammer this point home like it should never be hammered home before.
It's a perfect segue to talk about Illinois, but I would like to go back to Mr. Hegseth for just a couple of minutes, and that
Absolutely.
is he's an incredibly impressive man. Now I don't know about the charges that were levied against him during the nomination and the confirmation process. Are they true? I doubt it. Is he a drunk? I doubt it. Is he a wife beater? I doubt it. Is he a serial cheater in his marriage? He's a politician. My answer? Yeah, probably. None of my fucking business. But he is extremely articulate. He is unabashedly pro-American. He is unabashedly patriotic, and he is unabashedly pro-armed forces, which is his job as the Secretary of War. But he is also able to articulate a new vision for our armed forces that is very, very impressive. And that is a return to the traditional use of armed forces, which is to kill people and break things. He has moved away from the postmodern woke bullshit that was dumped on our armed forces, starting probably with Bush, but certainly accelerated with Obama, who destroyed the senior officer ranks and brought in a bunch of woke lunatics. And then, of course, our idiot Biden, who probably completed the destruction of that version of our armed forces. Anyway, Hegseth is a wonderful man to bring in. He's perfect. He's young. He's vibrant. He's good looking too, which is wonderful because that's disarming for women in the United States who are traditionally anti-armed forces. Let's face it. Anyway, I'll stop rambling about him and let's move on to Illinois, which is now ground zero for a couple of things. One is tactically attacks on ICE. The Illinois state legislature has passed a series of probably illegal laws, essentially weaponizing the state government against the federal government, which I think is a very interesting thing to happen. Sefton, what do you think of that?
Absolutely. I mean, yes, it's ridiculous. I mean, basically, to me, it's if it's not what's the word? I mean, insurrection or nullification. You cannot pass a law that prevents federal officers, federal law enforcement, in this case, ICE, from doing their duties. The laws that they that this law, so-called, says that that you cannot ICE agents cannot be within 1,000 feet of a courthouse. They can't be in emergency rooms. They can't be here and they can't be there. Who the hell is Pritzker and who the hell are the Democrat tyrants in Illinois to order to handcuff, so to speak, law enforcement from doing their job? That is in direct contravention of our federalist system. But there you go.
But see, it's fascinating to me. So it says within 1,000 feet of courthouses and other state buildings, it is not the purview of the state government to control our borders. It is not in the purview of the state government to exercise control over illegal aliens. That is absolutely the function of the federal government. There is no argument about that. And the idea that the legislature of Illinois can say, well, you know, the United States Constitution is cute, but we take precedence. I'm sorry, they're wrong. There are a few things that are absolutely the job of the federal government, and immigration is one of them. I cannot imagine any halfway decent federal court upholding these laws. And once it reaches the Supreme Court, they will be struck down. But in the short term, what is the federal government going to do about that?
Right. Yeah. My argument is why are we even dickering around waiting for the courts? It's completely illegal. Why should we rely on a judicial system that half the time is completely corrupt and sides with the leftists? But that's beside the point. If I were Donald Trump, I would tell them that you have no authority to do this. I'm not waiting around for the courts. And I would send ICE, the National Guard, squads of them in armored personnel carriers, if need be, because we all know that Democrats use fists, bricks, Molotov cocktails, knives, and guns and whatever to hand to assault police officers and ICE agents. They have openly declared war against ICE and Donald Trump. And if they're going to do that, send in the troops to protect the ICE agents while they do their business. What is Pritzker going to do? Have arrest ICE agents? And then what are you going to do? You're going to have the Chicago police or the state troopers of Illinois firing on ICE agents? And then what are you going to have? A civil war breakout? If that's what he wants, then, well, give it to him good and hard. It's insanity that we have to even debate this or talk about it. But yet here we are.
You're absolutely right. Listen, folks, Seth and I are both sputtering mad about this one. It's unbelievable. Now, one of the things about Donald Trump that is very carefully ignored by the left is that he is very, very respectful of the court system, of our legal system, of the judiciary. I think he is too respectful of them. I don't think that he is going to say, well, screw you. It's obviously illegal. We're going to ignore you. I think he's going to take it to court. And I think he'll win eventually. But that is one of the issues with Donald Trump that I don't know that it frustrates me, but I am curious about it because he is so aggressive in so many other parts of his conduct in the administration. And yet with the courts, he is very, very careful. I think it's probably a reflection of his experience in New York City as a big real estate developer, where, you know, every line of every contract is taken to the court. But I don't know. I'm just guessing at that point.
Right. But then, you know, he views things in a certain black and white sort of framework in that, you know, like a deal almost. And this is not a deal. You're literally being held up at gunpoint by people who want to rob you blind. So we're going to take them to court. You know, give him a summons. I mean, come on now. This is essentially what Pritzker is doing. He is usurping the power of the federal government illegally. And that can only demand one response. And I hate to say it, it ain't going to be going to court. It's going to be you saying, I'm sorry, Governor Pritzker, you have no authority. You take me to court if you think you have a case. How about do it that way?
Oh,
because
that's
what
an
Obama
excellent
used to
point.
Do. That's,
that's an excellent
yeah, that's
point.
What Obama. Obama used to do that all the time. He used to pull all sorts of illegal shit, and his basic response was, catch me if you can.
Yeah,
so
that's a very good point.
So why not put the onus on Pritzker to go to court and see if he'll get redress from the courts? And if that happens, then really all bets are off, and that would just prove our point that the judiciary is completely corrupt to the bone from top down. But put it on him to take Donald Trump to court. And let Donald Trump do what he has to do to ensure the safety of the American citizenry. I
Holman,
hope you're listening, Mr. President.
Yeah, I forgot his first name. Holman.
Tom Holman.
Tom
Holman.
Is also, by the way, and I should have mentioned him in the same breath as Rubio and Hegseth. I think he's wonderful also. He is quite aggressive. He likes to take charge of these things and push hard. We'll see what he's going to do. I think it's going to be very, very interesting. Folks, I'm not advocating for an armed standoff between the United States government and the Illinois state troopers. That's a bad thing.
Yes.
Is it going to happen? I don't know, but it's certainly not a good thing to contemplate certainly in our current tone in the United States. I had an interesting conversation.
It's not going to look like the scene from the Blues Brothers where Steven Spielberg is running up to the Cook County Clerk's office to pay his fine.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
No, this is serious shit. It really is.
Yeah. We're laughing, I think, probably inappropriately, folks. But this is not a good thing. And again, I think that eventually the courts will find that that Pritzker and the idiots in the Illinois state legislature have no standing here, and that it's yeah. obvious, it's transparently, obviously, axiomatically a proper function of the federal government. So,
right, but as I said, let Pritzker and company seek relief from the court system.
Yes, I think you're
let the
absolutely
criminals
right.
Let the criminals try to game the system, but not the good guys.
Yeah, that's a really that. Anyway, what else have we got?
Other than that, there was a bit of international news going on. Unfortunately, it's not good news for the president. He had brokered a pretty impressive peace deal between two warring nations that are neighbors, Cambodia and Thailand. And apparently that peace deal has unfortunately been evaporated. I think the two sides are once again warring with each other and having a border war between Thailand and Cambodia, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah, I don't even know the cause of it. And Donald Trump involved himself. It seemed to calm down for what, a couple of months.
Yeah, it was several months. Everybody seemed to be happy and smiling and yucking it up for the cameras, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
Well, same thing going on in Gaza, really. Supposedly we have on the verge of some sort of miraculous, wonderful peace deal, and then of course, please, Hezbollah is now acting up in Syria and in Lebanon and everywhere else, and it's meanwhile Christians are being slaughtered left, right, and center in Nigeria. And that's still going on, and
and
it's just
Sudan is unbelievably violent right now. There are people being killed at a much greater rate than ever happened in Gaza, but nobody gives a shit because, they're black people and they're not being killed by Jews, so who cares,
exactly.
right? That's how the world sees it.
Absolutely.
One of the problems, though, in Gaza is that the United States government is pushing for a Turkish presence in the reconstruction and protection of Gaza and the civilians, and I think it's a terrible, terrible idea. Turkey
Horrible
is
idea.
run by an Islamist. Turkey is trying to take over for Iran as the center of aggressive Islam, and I think it's a bad idea on the part of Donald Trump and the administration and his. And whoever his advisors are, who are advising him on the Middle East, I think that they are at best okay, and at worst, they cause more problems than they solve.
Erdogan is a mad mullah. He cannot be trusted.
He's a mad mullah in a suit. That's it.
That's it.
And
He
it,
has
but
completely.
let's not, he does seem like a bit of a lunatic, but let's not pretend that he's an idiot. He is not
No,
an
of course
idiot.
not.
He was able to,
But,
he was
yeah.
able to subvert what Kemal Atatürk built in Turkey, and no one had been able to do that for a long, long time, but he was able to do it. So give the man
He
credit.
basically destroyed secular rule in what was an Islamic country that was, pretty normal for about 100 years, and then all of a sudden, he's been in power now, what, 15 or 16 or however many years now, and is basically taking it, taking it the root of Iran and taking it back to the and NATO and frickin' Turkey is still in NATO, which is ridiculous. But then again, most of NATO is becoming Islamic to begin with. So there's ridiculous, and then there's really ridiculous.
He's also, he's pushing into Syria. He and the Kurds don't get along. He wants them all
Yep.
dead.
Yep.
And he's probably going to get his way eventually.
Yep. Well, the Turks wiped out the Armenians, and he's itching to wipe out the Kurds. So there you go.
What a nasty little part of the world. Israel is this shining beacon of freedom and democracy and pluralism, and most of the world wants it gone. It's just amazing to me.
Yep,
Also, the most beautiful women in the world, but that's a different
Israeli women
issue.
are pretty hot, from what I
Oh
remember
my
growing up
God.
and so on, and having dated one or two in my day. But be that as it may, it's
Yeah, I dated one briefly a long, long, long time ago. Oof. Wow.
yes, indeed. A la recherche de you know what's perdu.
Yeah, I remember a friend of mine met, saying that yes, the Israeli women are the most beautiful in the world, and they're also the nastiest.
All right.
Which
Well, I don't
is,
know.
yeah.
I don't know. I can't really say that, but I mean,
Yeah,
my experience was always very lovely, but let's leave it at that. And I'm sure the audience does not care about our dalliances with beautiful Jewish women. So there you go. And
what
at
else
this
do we
point in my
have?
life, I'm married to a lovely shiksa goddess. So there
Oh
you
my
have
God.
it.
Ashanda. So I don't know if you
Yes.
noticed this, but Miami elected a Democrat as mayor.
For the first time in 30 years or something.
I don't know about that, but I know that
That's what I saw,
God,
the
that's a long,
headline.
really, wow.
And I'm kind
But
of
it's
shocked. I
but I
thought
know that
Miami would have
Trump.
been.
Yeah, I know, but Trump supported the Republican whose name I shit, I
Yeah,
don't
I can't
remember.
remember either. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
She
so
was cute. Yeah,
you know
Cuban,
that
I believe, Cuban émigré, but
oh, that's great.
I
So
think.
but this illuminates an issue that the Republican apparatus has, and that is that in off years, Republicans simply don't vote, and Democrats do vote. They are frothing at frothing at the mouth, furious, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Yep.
And the Democrat Party deserves credit for keeping that intensity alive all 4 years of the election cycle. And the Republicans need to learn from them. Now, there's a problem, and that is that Republicans and conservatives tend not to focus obsessively on politics, so there's no impetus to go out and vote. In presidential years, of course, because these are national issues and they're obvious, and we're getting hammered with them all the time. But
But supposedly all politics is local. So what about that theory? I guess that's been
well,
shot to
yeah,
hell, at least on our
it's
part.
local for the Democrats and for the Republicans. We just we I'm not really a Republican. I find most Republicans to be disgusting. But are we talking about Tom Tillis now? Anyway,
Phyllis,
yeah,
God.
what a cocksucker.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so is it possible to change that dynamic within the Republican and conservative apparatus in the United States? I don't know. It's a tough one.
Unless some, yeah, I can't really, I mean, The election, the way elections are set up, it just is the way it is, and it's just we just don't, for whatever reason, we're not engaged in understand. I mean, yes, and when you say I mean, believe me, I hate the GOP establishment as much as anybody because they're feckless and useless most of the time, especially with what's going on with the redistricting nonsense in Indiana and and wherever else that was that whole thing, and in trying to get rid of the whole wheeling and dealing with trying to keep Obamacare alive. What the hell is that all about? And all this other nonsense, everything, they just seem to sort of get along to go along and not do anything and not give a damn. And on, it's just, you just throw up your hands. It's like you hold your nose and you vote for a McCain, you vote for a Romney, or just you're not voting for them, you're just voting against
You're voting
Hillary
against
Clinton.
Democrat. Yeah, that's how
You're
I vote. I
voting,
mean,
it's
I
voting
cast plenty
against,
of. Go ahead.
right, voting against Democrats is not the same as voting for the Republican. Voting
Yeah.
for someone, you really, voting against something is a harder, and sometimes is a harder nut to crack than if you have a great candidate when you really are enthusiastic about voting for someone.
Yeah.
So,
And part and parcel with this is not part and parcel, but concurrent with this is the explosion of violence perpetrated on both Democrats and Republicans by the product of the Democrat apparatus, and that is the the decriminalization of everything up to and including murder. I think you wrote about this Chicago cardiologist who's got her ass kicked in an elevator at Northwestern. Or in one of their hospitals by a guy
oh
who'd
my
been
goodness.
arrested more than a dozen times.
I mean, if stuff
And
like that
how
cannot be
you
weaponized, not weaponized, but at least can't be touted by, I mean, Trump is doing the best he can, but even still, it's like Trump can't run every local race.
yeah.
It's up to politicians to run their own damn races.
But the this Chicago cardiologist, I'll bet you $1,000. She is going to go to the polls next year and vote Democrat. Guaranteed.
Sadly, you may very well be right. And
Yeah.
that's well, whatever,
And I don't know if you noticed this, but Mamdani appointed a an armed robber, a convicted armed robber, to his transition team, specifically
some crime position or something.
public safety transition team.
Yeah,
So a
great.
fucking armed ro I mean, armed robbery, that's called, pulling a gun on somebody in the street and taking their wallet.
I've had that done to
Or,
me, both gun
yeah.
and knife, concurrently. And believe me, that is just, thank God I'm not in New York anymore. That's all I can say. And
What
I
was
sort
that,
of
New
in
York in the 80s or in the early 90s?
that was 1981.
Oh, that
That
was
was
the
toward the
heyday.
that right. That was the tail end of the Koch years.
Yeah. New
And Koch
York
was,
was a
to a
tough
sense, was
place
actually
in the
pretty good.
70s and 80s and even into the early 90s.
It's until Giuliani came along, it was
Yeah.
just.
Ed Koch would have been a great Republican. He couldn't expand his thoughts into reality. He
No.
was crippled by his Democratic
His
I don't
so
know.
his yes, his liberal ways and the liberal mindset of someone, brought up with these mythological beliefs that, Republicans, anti-Semites, Democrats for the working man, Democrats good. It's just all these mythologies that have been going on for, 100 years, and you're raised with it, and just that's what it is. But what are you
Yeah.
going to do?
So let's try to wrap this up. But one thing I want to mention is, and I've been hammering this again and again, Donald Trump is not communicating his successes and his goals effectively to the United States of America.
No.
I just saw a report of gas prices, which are coming down. It's now the lowest it's been in many years. It's a wonderful thing,
Absolutely.
and that affects Americans directly. It affects them today and tomorrow and the next day. That's a very, very important
Absolutely.
thing. And yet he's still talking about all the crap that happened between 2015 and 2024. And I
Although
look,
to
I
his
get
credit,
it. He got
to his
fucked.
credit, yeah, of
But
course, and it's a good
let's
thing,
move
right?
on.
To his credit, though, I think yesterday he and Besant, Scott Besant, we're crowing about many, many, many thousands of great jobs being added in Pennsylvania, which is a crucial state.
Yeah.
And also the energy secretary, we talk about Zeldin, they're now announcing full speed ahead with his construction and as fast as possible nuclear plants. Hallelujah. Great. Keep it up, baby.
Yeah.
Energy
I just,
independence. So,
you know, I wrote about this at Ace of Spades recently about the problem in the Senate. And that is that they are, I mean, obviously they are cocksucking sleazebag GOP corporate scum. But that's, you know, that's axiomatic. They are not doing their jobs. They need to work in lockstep with the president and start passing some substantive bills. You know, it's nice. Executive orders are great and they get headlines, but every single executive order that Donald Trump has signed and will sign can be canceled on the morning of or the afternoon of January 20th, 2029. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Donald
Assuming
Trump
God
needs
forbid,
to
but, you know.
Needs to embrace the legislature, and he is not doing that. He is criticizing them, and I think his criticisms are absolutely valid, but he's got to play nice with them and see
Yep.
if they will do what he needs to be done, because it's got to be passed into law. If it's not law,
Absolutely.
if it's simply an executive order, it's temporary. So,
Yep.
anyway, I don't want to bitch and moan about Donald Trump. I love the guy. He's great. No, I don't love him. I've never met him. He's doing a lot of what I want done in this country. And he's unapologetic. And he has hired some wonderful, wonderful people. And I just wish he were more of a politician. And, you know, to go along with his that robust populism that is so appealing. But anyway.
Yep. If only he thought of his policies and what he's doing as a massive, Trump organization project, and just sell it
Yeah.
to the sell it to the people and do it all the
Yeah.
time. But God bless him. I mean, I love him, and I've never met him personally either. But he's great for America, and long may the MAGA movement and what he has engendered, may it see the way of the Democrat leftist movement. May it go the way of the dodo, please God, within our lifetime, if not shortly thereafter.
Well, that would be
So, I
lovely.
mean,
One thing I do want to criticize about Donald Trump, I think he wears his ties too long. He's got great taste in ties, you know, beautiful conservative rep ties, just great, great stuff. But I think they're
We're
a
getting
little too long.
into the sartorial weeds here, but
Yeah.
okay.
Well, listen, look who he's married to, the most elegant first lady, at least since Jacqueline Kennedy. Jackie Kennedy.
Absolutely.
And
Yep, she is.
I think she beats Jackie Kennedy.
Mamie Eisenhower was kind of neat.
No.
Oh, dear. Hey, now, wait a minute. Actually, I was more of a Kay Summersby fan, but that's,
Yeah.
well, never mind. For you history buffs, you know what I'm talking about.
The First Lady really is spectacularly beautiful, unbelievably elegant, and has and exudes calm, this calm reserve that I think is just wonderful. So makes
And
me very happy.
she's an intellect. She speaks like 10
Yeah.
languages. She's a very refined
Yeah.
and very, very intelligent woman, and lovely,
Successful in
lovely
her own
person.
right. Also,
Without a
she
doubt.
didn't become
Absolutely.
successful because of Donald Trump. She was successful before they got married, which is,
Absolutely.
you know, just like Mike Obama. Wasn't she successful? Oh, no, she wasn't at all.
Well, she was a very successful grifter who had no-show
Yeah,
jobs for hundreds of
okay.
thousands of dollars, turning away black people from hospitals in Chicago.
There you go.
There you go.
With that, folks, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for hitting our tip jar. Thank you for commenting on the stuff that we write, both at Ace of Spades and at Cutjib Newsletter. And just thank you very much. Sefton, take it away.
Indeed. CBD, thank you, my friend. Your rants and the chimp doing the morning rant, wonderful stuff, and love rapping with you on here on the podcast. It's and to all of our listeners and our friends and commenters at Ace of Spades and Cut Jib, thank you and for your support and your wonderful kindnesses, and just keep it up. Keep the cards and letters coming, and hit the tip jar when and if you can, and comment everywhere, where, you know, both at the websites and also comment on Rumble, on our Rumble channel. We you know, it helps us out immeasurably. So until we meet again, we will see you on the next one real soon. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening, folks.